Welcome to the C3 Church Watson podcast. Our vision is to connect you to Jesus, grow you as a disciple, and help you serve his purpose. We hope you are blessed by this week's message.
When Jesus had tasted it, he said, "It is finished." Then he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. That is the description from the Gospel of John of the end of Jesus' life when he died on the cross. I'd like us to rewind a few days to the beginning of that week because several things happened. We've heard about it already in our creative item. It was a week that was full of highs and lows. His triumphant entry into Jerusalem, and then just one day later, Jesus was found crying and weeping over the same city. His last meal with his disciples, where he washed their feet. His agony at the Garden of Gethsemane. His betrayal by Judas. The falling away of those closest to him, his beatings, and then, as we've just read, his death on the cross. Within the story of the week leading up to his death, woven into Jesus' story, there are other stories. We see the story of the others who were with him there. Those who experienced this life-changing event firsthand. Look, they had no idea what was going on. Put yourself in their shoes. They didn't understand what was really happening. And this morning, I want to look at the story of two of Jesus' disciples, both of whom messed up and denied or betrayed him. But their individual responses to what they had done determined their future and their eternal destiny with God. I'm talking about Judas and Peter, both disciples of Jesus. Matthew 26, let's look at Judas. Matthew 26, 14 says, "Then one of the 12, the one called Judas, went to the chief of priests and he asked, 'What are you willing to give me if I deliver him over to you?' So they counted out for him 30 pieces of silver, and from then on, Judas watched for an opportunity to hand him over." Down to verse 47, "While he was still speaking," that's Jesus, "Judas, one of the 12, arrived. With him was a large crowd armed with swords and clubs sent from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer, Judas, had arranged a signal with them. 'The one I kiss is the man. Arrest him.' Going at once to Jesus, Judas said, 'Greetings, Rabbi,' and kissed him. Jesus replied, 'Do what you came for, friend.' Then the men stepped forward, seizing Jesus, and arrested him." Judas betrays Jesus. Jesus is taken away. Judas. Now, he may be the one we like to point out when we've messed up to make us feel better about ourselves. Well, at least I didn't mess up that bad. I mean, Judas, he messed up really bad, didn't he? He betrayed God. The Bible tells us that Judas loved money and he saw an opportunity to make some. And he let his love for money drive him to betray the man he had chosen to follow and live with and learn from. But if we're honest with ourselves, we have to admit that we can let things drive us to do things that we later regret. Anyone? Recovering people, please are here. I don't know if there are any more in the room. I have let my need, want for approval drive me to do things, to say things, to think things that I later regret. Addictions, harming ourselves or harming others, and we later regret. We mess up and damage those closest to us, and we later regret it. What do we do with those failures? What do we do with that? You might be here today and you're carrying around regret about something you did, and it's like a heavy backpack that you need to put down because it's weighing you down. Regret is too heavy for anyone to carry. And then we have Peter. Matthew 26 says this, and then Jesus told them, "This very night you will fall away on account of me, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I've risen, I will go ahead to you into Galilee." Peter replied, very dramatic, "Even if all fall away on account of you, I never will." Jesus says, "Truly I tell you, this very night before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times." But Peter declared, no, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you." Oh gosh, Peter, look, just hearing those words, anyone else? Yeah. "I never will." So confident in himself, so full of what we might call arrogance. Arrogance that he would never mess up, so sure that his performance would never let him down. "I've got this, Jesus, I've got your back." Until verse 69, "Now Peter was sitting out in the courtyard and a servant girl came to him. 'You were also with Jesus of Galilee,' she said, but he denied them all." "I don't know what you're talking about." "Then he went out to the gateway where the other servant girl saw him and said to the people there, 'This fellow was with Jesus of Nazareth.' He denied it again with an oath, 'I don't know what you mean.' After a little while, those standing there went up to Peter and said, 'Surely you are one of them. Your accent gives you away.' Then he began to call down curses. He swore to them." That's also very dramatic. "'I don't know the man.' Immediately, the rooster crowed. Then Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken, 'Before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times.' And he went outside and wept bitterly." Two men, two betrayals, and as we're just about to see, two different responses. We're going to look at both. Judas' response to messing up. Matthew 27, "Early in the morning, all the chief priests and the elders of the people made their plans how to have Jesus executed, so they bound him, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate. When Judas, who had betrayed him, saw that Jesus was condemned, he was seized with remorse and returned the money to the chief of priests. And he said, 'I have sinned. I have betrayed innocent blood.' 'What is it to us?' they replied. 'That's your responsibility.' So Jesus threw the money into the temple and left, and he went away and hung himself." That's final. That's tragic. Peter, on the other hand, Peter stayed in community with the other disciples after he denied knowing Jesus. He stayed in community, and when he heard the news that Jesus was no longer in the tomb, he responded this way in Luke 24. "When they came back from the tomb, they told all of these things to the 11. That was the Marys. "But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up. He ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away wondering to himself," my gosh, what's happened? Both of these disciples of Jesus had let themselves down, had let their friends down, had let their leader, Jesus, down. Both had messed up. Both had regrets. Both had a different response to their mess, which meant they had a different outcome after they messed up. I want to ask you today, are you here and you're living still in a past mistake, a past failure, and it's determining the outcome of your life for bad and not for good? Has it stolen your future like it stole Judas' future? It doesn't have to. God doesn't want it to. In fact, that is why he died, to save us from our mistakes, to save us from our messes, because our performance is not what determines if we can have a relationship with God. If it did, we would all be in trouble. When Jesus said, "It is finished," all of that changed. Judas was convinced that it was his performance that got him in. It was his performance that got him accepted. It was his performance that made him okay. He was convinced that one wrong move and he was out. Peter, on the other hand, he understood that his mistakes weren't final, and the only way to get past them was to throw himself on his merciful God and keep walking in the right direction, which is toward him. Yeah. It's like the story in the Bible of two sons, and one son ran away, took his inheritance, he ran away, and the Bible says that the father was waiting with open arms. Somehow Peter got that. Somehow Peter knew that. And the father was waiting with open arms. And the Bible says in that story that as the son just came walking up the hill, the father, he was waiting and he ran to him. That's the God that died on the cross for you and me. Peter, after denying Jesus, went out and wept bitterly. He was devastated. He thought he had what it took to stand up for Jesus, but when the time came, he failed. Judas was also overwhelmed with regret. And he returned the money. He admitted he'd done the wrong thing. He even attempted to make restitution. He took responsibility. Great, good, needs to happen. That's a good thing. But he was so totally overwhelmed with regret that he thought there was no way back from it. Regret can lock us in a prison and throw away the key. Regret can stop us from living the life we have right now. Regret can tie us. That's the thing about regret. What it actually does is it ties us to our past, because we keep going over and over. Regret cost Judas everything. It cost him his life. And I know what it's like to live with regret. I really do. I didn't realize I was living under the weight of regret, but I was. It was like these invisible strings that were attached to me, and they were tying me to the past. And regret affected the way that I was living now. It affected the way that I saw the future. It affected the way that I saw myself. Until Jesus, in his kindness, came and showed me that I was living under the weight of regret. And he cut those invisible strings once and for all. I want to read you a quote from a book I read recently about a survivor. A survivor of a concentration camp during the Holocaust. And she made a choice. And she didn't realize at the time the consequences of her choice. But even when she was freed, like they were, she made it through, she was still imprisoned. For over 40 years, she was imprisoned by her regret. I want to read you this quote. She says this, "I could have done something different. And yet, how easily a life can become a litany of guilt and regret. A song that keeps echoing with the same chorus, with the inability to forgive ourselves. How easily the life we didn't live becomes the only life we prize. How easily we can worship the choice we think we could or should have made. I can punish myself for having made the wrong choice. That is my prerogative. Or I can accept that the more important choice is the one I make now. To forgive my flaws, to commit myself to serve others, to be useful, to thrive so that I can use every moment to make this world a better place, and to finally stop running from the past. To do everything possible to redeem it, then let it go. I can make the choice all of us can make. I can't ever change the past, but there is a life I can save. It is mine, the one I'm living right now, this precious moment." And I believe there are people in this room, maybe online, who are living buried under the weight of regret. And you don't know what to do with what you're carrying. You don't know what to do with it. You've tried to move on. You've tried to bury it. You've tried to live better. You've tried to make up for it, but you can't find a way out of it. And it's stealing your life, and it's actually very exhausting. You are alive, but you're not really living. If you are trying to live by your performance, I want to introduce you to God's grace today. I want to show you how to live free from regret. Both Judas and Peter felt regret, but only one found his way back to Jesus, humbly greeting him when he called him to himself. Mark 16 says, "But go tell the disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." See, God singled Peter out because he knew that Peter needed to hear that. He needed to hear that his mess up wasn't final. He wanted Peter to take that regret to him. God rescued Peter. God rescued me at the age of 16. And God will rescue you if you let him. We need to get to the point, every single person needs to get to the point that Peter did. Peter understood that without accepting the grace of God, we all remain lost in our mess because grace is received, it's not earned. Our role is to accept it. Our role is to receive what is given to us. Like that beautiful song says, "I couldn't earn it, I don't deserve it, but you give yourself away." That's what Jesus did. We can't earn it. We definitely don't deserve it. Whether Judas, come up guys, wherever you are, whether Judas refused to forgive himself or refused to believe that God could ever forgive him, we don't know. What we do know is that he bailed with finality and he gave up on his faith and his future. The difference between those two men is not that one did the wrong thing and one did not. It's not that one felt sorrowful and the other felt nothing. Both of them messed up. Both felt grieved by their choices. The difference is that one lost himself in regret and despair, and one found himself in grace. Grace. Grace is what strengthens us. The grace of God. Peter showed us the way when he ran to the tomb, when he heard that something amazing had happened. And he ran to the tomb. And Jesus wasn't in there. He didn't really understand what was going on, but he knew he had to just keep walking. I want to ask you, if you're here today and you've never opened yourself up to receive God's grace, or maybe you've walked with Jesus for a long time, but you've thought, yeah, you're still carrying regrets. There are certain things that you think, well, I can never let that go. And it's a weight on you. When Jesus said it is finished, he said, I don't want you carrying any of those weights anymore because I carried them for you. So, I want to give you an opportunity today to, if you've never come to Jesus and said, I need your grace. Maybe you're not, you know, you haven't messed up. Everyone needs God's grace because all of us make mistakes at times. And it's our sin, it's those things that keep us, that separate us from God. And that's why Jesus came. Very simple. So, if you want to receive the grace of God today and ask Jesus Christ to come into your life, I'm going to give you an invitation to do that in a minute. What we're going to do is pray a short prayer all together. And then I'm going to ask you to put up your hand so that we can meet you after the service. Maybe you need to recommit your life to Jesus today. I'd ask you to pray that prayer as well and to also put up your hand because we want to meet with you after the service too. So if everyone could just close their eyes. The invitation is to pray this prayer. Dear God, thank you for sending Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross. Forgive me for my sin. I ask you to come into my heart. I want to live for you. Be my Lord and Savior. Help me to follow you for the rest of my life.
Thanks for listening. We hope to see you in church again this weekend. To find out more about our church, find us online at c3churchwatson.com.au.